Jesus, we glorify you and magnify you. If you'll have great honor for him, great honor will be bestowed upon you. If you have great honor for him, hallelujah, we worship you. Jesus said in a place in Mark 6, when people couldn't honor him or didn't honor him, they didn't receive much from him. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 2 says, they that honor me, I will honor them. What's that mean? To have high esteem, great respect for, great honor for. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Praise his holy name forevermore. Praise his holy name forevermore. Praise his holy name forevermore. Praise God. Just keep worshiping him. Bless you, Lord. Magnify you. We love you, Jesus. Help us tonight. Help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to do what needs to be done. Father, we thank you. You're a God of action. You are a God of deeds and doing. And we thank you, Father. You're a God of demonstration. That's the word I'm looking for. And we love you and praise you. We thank you for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this just kept my spirit. It's not where I want to go in the message, but I want to follow the Holy Ghost. Go to Hebrews real quick, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 5. God wants to do things tonight. And what do you mean by that? Well, weeks ago, he was dealing with me about what our Christmas service would be, and so that's been stirring around in there, and I had to just yield to it. You know, there's always a temptation to go certain directions for certain things, and I just found this with the Holy Ghost. I've learned, you know, and I'm not certainly there yet, but one of the marks of a mature Christian is to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Even when you don't understand it, even when you don't like it, even when you don't agree with it, just follow the Holy Spirit. There's things he can see. There's things that he knows that we don't know. Amen? And in Hebrews 5, so God wants to do some things tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter that God wants to do some things. It doesn't matter that the preachers come ready to help him accomplish what he wants to do. We saw in Mark chapter 6, I mentioned it, that Jesus said, a prophet is without honor in his own country, his own kingdom, his own hometown. And it said he could there do no mighty work. Well, what was the thing? They had no honor for him, right? This is Christmas service. Jesus is here tonight. He wants to demonstrate. He wants to work. But there has to be honor. And I want to show you something about Jesus here. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he said also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's talking about Jesus being a priest for forever. Now look at this, we're talking about Jesus in the days of his flesh. Who in the days of his flesh, what's that mean? His time on the earth. In the days of Jesus' flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard. Now, what I want you to see is that the Bible says that Jesus in the days of his flesh, he prayed, right? Why did he pray? Well, he needed God to do things on the earth. Remember before he raised Lazarus from the dead, what did he say? Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you hear me always. Why? He needed that power of God to raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, Jesus prayed and he had stripped himself of all deity and didn't really do anything in ministry until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, but I want you to see here. So Jesus offered up prayers with crying and supplications and he was heard. Well, what do we know about 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15? That if we're heard, we have. And we could just say this, that we know that Jesus' prayers were answered. Amen? Jesus didn't go without his prayers answered. But I want you to see, it says, he offered up in the days of his flesh prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Kim, will you pull that up in the Amplified, please? Jesus, there was a secret or a key to him getting his prayers answered. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted but needed, supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was always able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence towards God. His godly fears, piety, that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. What is it saying about Jesus? He was honorable. He was reverent towards God. And those people in Mark chapter 6 that did not receive, God was in their midst. The Word was in their midst. And they came with a lack of reverence. They came with a lack of honor. They, you know, a ho-hum attitude is a lack of honor. An attitude of not expecting is a lack of honor. Of, I wish he would just get over so we get downstairs and eat, is a lack of honor. And it'll cause you to miss out. Jesus didn't miss out. Why? He was honorable towards the things of God. And God wants to do some things here tonight in this Christmas service and demonstrate. And I'll talk about that in a second. But go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. I love reading this portion of the Christmas story to set the table of Jesus coming to the earth. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 is the sound team having the standing challenge tonight? Is that, I mean, no, you can stay standing. Are we doing the standing challenge? I didn't know who's going to last the longest. It's like Survivor, you know, you got to stand there and you can't move. And I was looking, I thought, maybe I did something wrong to keep them standing. But you stand back up if you want to. I mean, I got to stand the whole time. You probably should have to, too. It's not fair. You guys get to sit the whole time. But, oh, man, my brain. I'm sorry. My brain, it just works different. But Luke chapter 2, one of you playing for the immunity advantage or whatever. You know, who's going to stand the longest without falling out? They're going to get a prize. But Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar. Actually, what it was, I just felt bad for them. They don't know how long-winded I am. I got to give them leave to sit down here. But it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made from Cyrenius, a governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great or pregnant with child. And so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that he should be delivered. Now, is this the portion of Scripture that Linus always read? Because if so, I need a blanket. We'll count this as my blanket on my shoulder. Like Linus used to wear his blanket over his shoulder, didn't he? And then I'll suck my thumb after. But anyways. And I think this is what he used to read. But it says in verse 7, and she brought forth their firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So praise God, huh? Jesus being born, hallelujah, Jesus coming to the earth. And, you know, I believe I'm in the company of believers here today. I don't know. I know we have some newer, younger people here, but I know all the adults, you know, you believe in Jesus. And we're thankful, right, that Jesus came. And most importantly, we're thankful because Jesus came for salvation. Amen. I mean, that gift, you know, is not fully recognized or realized because, you know, we live in this natural realm and our brains have a hard time comprehending, but my goodness, someday we're going to be thankful for that gift in a measure that we're not thankful now because we're not fully experiencing it. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? And that giving started at Christmas, you know, but I want to show you something else that Jesus came for, but also that marked his ministry. And that ministry still is going on today, but is available to us because of Jesus coming. And if you just turn over to John chapter 10 in verse 10. John chapter 10 in verse 10. I know this, that when the Holy Ghost prompts things like this, he's wanting to get people into something different. He's wanting people to experience something a new reality. And, you know, here we are at the last service that we're having because of Christmas service next week, and then we'll be back January 1st. You know, some people are going to carry the same things that they struggled and suffered with all year into that new year. And this is such a gift from God to say, let's put an end to that right now. Yeah. You know, we get in habits and we get almost like where we accept things that we don't have to accept. You know, you can get to the point where, you know, suffering becomes normal, where you have built up a tolerance to this in your mind, and it just becomes a part of your life, and it's like it's just an acceptance of that, and God sure isn't accepting of that. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. Well, that's what we're celebrating on the Christmas season, Jesus coming to earth. And he did come to earth, and he did come to earth to give us salvation, and we're grateful for that, and that eternal life that he's come to give us. But he's also come to give us a different type of lifestyle on the earth. Abundant lifestyle, or the lifestyle that Jesus offered you by coming to the earth, is the Zoe lifestyle. That's the lifestyle that's available to Christians. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And, you know, we've talked about it, but that word life in the Greek is the word Zoe, and it means the God kind of life, or the life like God enjoys it, or a term that's more easily understood is heaven on earth. That's what Jesus came to give us, was heaven on earth. And if you drop back to Luke chapter 4 and go to verse 18, we see the makings of his ministry. And there's a lot in there. And in fact, in this whole verse, everything that a person could encounter or go through, Jesus said, I've come to take care of it. Every problem that you have is fit into here. What am I saying to you? That Jesus is your answer to your every problem. He is the solution to everything. He is the fix. He is the antidote. Praise God. He is the medicine. He is our help. And in this verse, there is something specific the Holy Ghost wants me to teach on and build your faith in tonight, and then do something with it at the end of service. But I'm here to tell you that in this verse, nothing you face is not in this verse. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So now Jesus is here. One of the things that the Bible says Jesus came to do was destroy the works of the devil. Well, the works of the devil is found in the verse before, John 10:10, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. Things that would steal from you, things that would kill from you, things that would destroy from you. Jesus came to undo them. And now he's going to talk about these things that steal, kill, and destroy from people that he's come to undo and make different in someone's life. He's anointed me to, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus is your answer for poverty. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus can do that, amen? You know, there's a thing called this peace that passes understanding. It's supernatural peace, that things that happen to people, or things they experience, or things that they go through, naturally, you could never get over that. You could never find joy again. You could never find peace again. And that's true. Naturally, you can't, but with Jesus, you can. It's a peace that passes understanding. What does it mean? I can't even understand how I could have peace on that, but with him I can. Heal the brokenhearted. Look at this. To preach deliverance to the captives. Well, if you're struggling with depression, you're held captive. If you have a fear problem, you're held captive. If you have a worry problem, you're held captive. Amen? If you're in poverty, you're held captive. If you're sick, you're held captive. If you're lonely, you're being held captive. Why? That's not abundant life. Do you understand this? Jesus is the answer to every single thing. He came at the Christmas season that we celebrate to give you abundant life, your whole life. You know, Romans 10:13 says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, or the Greek word means sozo. That word sozo means to be complete or to be whole. You know, you can have perfect healing, but if you can't pay your bills, that's not wholeness, or vice versa. Or you have all the money in the world and the healing of the world, but yet your family's struggling and your kids, or and there's no peace, or your mind is, that's not wholeness. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the one who's the complete answer giver, that complete helper. Amen? And look at this. He says, to preach deliverance to the captive. So if you're held captive by anything, Jesus is your answer. And notice this, the recovering of the sight to the blind, that's what we get to in a second, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And we could look at these in detail, but every single problem that mankind has fits into these categories. Every single problem. Jesus said, I am your answer. Now, what about the answer here? See, understand this. He said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. And he talks about the recovering the sight to the blind, the setting at liberty them that are bruised, delivering the captives, right? All those things, heal the brokenhearted. He says, I've come to preach that. What's he saying? So the change would happen now. See, so many people celebrate Jesus in an ignorant fashion for what's and what's only to come in the future. And that's all they're aware of. That's all they know, right? But no, what I'm trying to get across to you at the last service of the year and going forward is that God wants your life, if anything, at this Christmas season to recognize, I sent an avenue of change for you. I sent a force of change for you. Christmas, I gave my son so that you could have all these things overturned in your life. Amen. Turned around and changed. Amen? It's not pie in the sky. Sing some Christmas carols. Pass some gifts around. And just say, wow, thank God Jesus was born as a baby. A wonderful time. Let's rejoice. No. The purpose of him being here is to turn your life around. To actually change some things. And notice he says, to recovering of the sight to the blind. One of the marks that you see throughout Jesus' ministry was the mark of bringing healing to the sick. Amen? What's that mean? Taking people that have physical conditions in their body that would not line up with an abundant life and turning them and changing them so they're no longer there. And, you know, I would guess, you know, that there's people in this room and in South Dayton tomorrow when I preach the same message that have things in their body that are causing them to live a lesser life than abundant life. I would guess that that would be the case, or Jesus would have not needed to, healing wouldn't need to be available if people weren't going to struggle, you know? And I'm guessing that there's things even within that, that your mindset over time has gotten to be, This is my new normal. This is my reality. It was one of the greatest fears in that 2-year test that I had physically. One of the greatest fears that I had was that this is my new normal. The thing that was trying to get on my mind is I'm going to have to learn, because in those 2 years, I had to learn to adjust everything else I did around that pain. Around that, the way I had to change my eating, and around the way I had to change my sleeping habits. And that thought came in, and that was for something so big and painful. But there's other things that we've managed to live with and managed to cope with that this just become a part of our life. We're not contending for it. We're not believing God for it. We're just kind of going through our life, you know, with it. And just kind of living with it. I'll give you an example of myself. I have this little bump on my wrist. Carly can even see it. But you know, it's just there. And I thought, well, I don't like that there. You know, I'd like that gone. And I know God's a healer and things. But to be honest, it's just something there that, you know, I can, and I know there's lots of worse things than that, and things that cause medication, things that cause lack of sleep, things that are doing things to your blood pressure and different things in your body. But with something like this, I would like that to be gone, and I would like that to be different, and it's not supposed to be there, but I don't really do anything with it because I don't really notice, don't really pay attention, and it's not really that big of a deal. But bigger things like that, because we've adjusted and become such creatures of habit in our nature, there's things that are really hindering our lives that we're just going into 2022. And we had it 2020, 21, 19, 18, 17. And he's saying to you, no, wake up. It's Christmas time. I sent you the greatest gift at Christmas time you could ever have. Yes, you get eternal life from this gift, but I sent you an agent of change. To actually change your life. To actually, through him, become different. Amen? Hold your place here and go to Romans 8:32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. So tonight I'm focusing on healing. But remember, he said it's a complete salvation. So I'm healthy and whole. I don't have anything you're talking about. Well, look what it says in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? Why with him? Because he's the agent of change. He's the one that's come to bring you abundant life. Hallelujah. That's what it says. He says, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? What's he saying? Things that you don't have, Jesus can bring them to you. Why? He's the agent of change. Now go back to Luke 4:18. All things. So if it's not healing you need, well, praise God, your all things is included in there. Luke 4:18, to recovering of the sight to the blind. Now, we know through Jesus' ministry, he just focused on one specific thing here. We know in Jesus' ministry, it was more than just blind people that were made well. Amen? It was more than just blind people that were made well. Any physical condition. Now, go with me to John. Go with me to Matthew 4:23. We'll start there first. Matthew 4:23. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdoms. And notice this, healing. Jesus healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What's that saying? They were healed from their sickness. They encountered the agent of change, and the things they were dealing with in their body were no longer because of him, right? Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. In verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This was the flow. This was the norm. Amen? He went about and healed people, changed their situation. Now go with me to Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. What are we focusing on? Jesus coming to the earth. Now, let me just tell you, if you're here tonight and you're somebody that has things in your body that would not be on the abundant life list, you ought to be a lot happier than you seem right now. Because what Jesus is offering you in the Holy Ghost by putting this on my heart and sharing these things to remind you, to put forth in front of you, that thing that you are taking with you into tonight and into tomorrow, into the new year, he said, I don't want that for you anymore. Praise God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Who anointed him? God did. How God anointed him with of Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. So why did Jesus have the Holy Ghost and power? Because God anointed him. Amen? What's that mean? God wanted this. It says, who went about doing good, healing all. So God considers it a good thing when people are healed. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Go to John 5 and verse 19. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Praise the Lord. Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do. For what the Father soever does, the Son does likewise. You see what Jesus is saying here? I guess I should get it patented before some of you steal it, put on a t-shirt, and make all the money. But I call it the Jesus rule, right? The Jesus rule states what? That whatever you see Jesus doing, it's only because that's what his father wanted. And if Jesus is healing, it's because he looked into heaven and saw my daddy's a healer, praise God. And so God wants you healed. Jesus came to get you healed. Now, Hebrews 13 and verse 8, and then we're going to start teaching some things or just refreshing your memory. Hebrews 13 and 8. Praise God. What's it say? Jesus Christ, what? The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. What does that mean? Jesus, in the olden days, agent of change on the earth, encountered people that were what? Experiencing less than abundant life. When they had an encounter with him, what happened? They left different. Change began to happen. Now, not always instantaneous change. The nobleman's son, the second miracle Jesus ever did, began to get well when Jesus, but it ended up turning out. Praise God. And if you just jump down real quick to Acts 14 and verse 7. I know what happens after time. Blah, 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 blah. I've heard this so many times, and yet I'm still sick. I've heard this so many times, and yet I'm still in pain. I still have the same conditions. Well, why don't we change that tonight? Because the word is true. Jesus is offering everybody at Christmas time change. Let's do the right thing with it and get our change. Acts chapter 14, verse 7 says, there they preached the gospel. So the word's going forth. Remember what Jesus said, I'm preaching this to change things. In verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet, and he leaped and he walked. Well, this man got his answer, didn't he? Yes. How did he get his answer? Simply this. He mixed faith with the word that was preached and got his answer. Tonight, I'm going to preach on healing. If you will mix your faith on healing, and at the end we'll call you forward and we'll pray and release our faith with you, you can walk out of here either completely healed, if it happens instantaneously, great. If not, the gate has been opened, the ball has been dropped, and now you're going down a different way where your healing is just, it's coming. Praise God, it's coming, amen? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. Praise God. I knew weeks ago that the Christmas service would be a healing service. Is there the communion scriptures, which we will be taking up communion after service? I forgot to mention that. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, this is my body, broken for you, do it in remembrance of me. At the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament. In my blood, this do as often as you drink it for remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation himself. Notice this, not discerning the Lord's body. And then it says in verse 30, for this cause. Well, what's the cause? The cause is not discerning the Lord's body. What's discerning mean? Understanding, recognizing, realizing the Lord's body. It says, for this cause, what? When you don't understand, you could say it this way, when you don't understand the fullness of the Christmas message. Because Jesus didn't just come for some sweet Christmas service. He came to bring healing to your body. Amongst the other things, remember healing broken heart, or Yeah, healing the brokenhearted, recovering the sight, setting the captives, liberty of them who are bruised, gospel of the poor. So when he came, Jesus himself came, it was for change. One of those changes, healing in your body. And it says here, when you don't understand Jesus, right? Not discerning the Lord's body. Well, who's the Lord's body? Is the Lord. And yes, it's also talking about what he did on the cross, but also you could even take it a step further, not understanding him and what he came to do. For this cause, many, not a few, not a little bit, many are weak and sick. You see that? And many sleep. What's that mean, to die? Well, the Bible tells us right here why many among us, Christians, are weak and sick. What a shame that is. When he said, I came that you'd have abundant life. Abundant life is not weak, and abundant life is not sick. But why are many people weak and sick when something's offered to them differently? They don't know. Many people are celebrating Christmas season all throughout the world, and it's right and true that about Jesus' birth, which led to our salvation. And that's it. But there's a whole gap in between his birth and when our redemption is fully realized, and it's called life. And they get the birth, and then they get when he dies, and you know, they don't ever walk into and actually become sick and weak and actually die prematurely for one simple reason: not fully understanding the Christmas message. Of the Savior that came to do what? Set the captives free. Recover the sight to the blind. One of the things is healing is why he came. And many people don't know that. Hallelujah. And when you don't know something, you don't take advantage of it. I'm amazed at how many little things and features with this phone that I still am not taking advantage of. Sometimes, have you ever been in a text message conversation where you either rattle off a bunch of questions or the other person rattles off a bunch of questions, and then they respond to something, but you have no idea because the answer could have been for that question, the answer could have been for that question. And it's like, you know, you fired off too many questions. Well, and this might be silly to you, you might know how, but Pastor Scott does this thing because Pastor Mike's good at blowing up Pastor Scott's phone. When I don't understand things, these things, bam, one after another, you know, and he's got text after text. He does this thing where he responds back to me, and there's like an arrow that comes out of his message that points to the exact question. So when he responds to it, I know exactly what. I say, I don't know how to do that on my phone. It would make my life a whole lot easier. And there's a lot on this phone that I don't know how, and there's a lot that I've learned that I can take advantage of, but there's so much I don't know, and I can't take advantage of it because I'm not knowledgeable enough. And here, this Christmas time that we celebrate this year, Christians throughout the world are celebrating this. Yay, Jesus came. I'm sick. I'm going into 2022. I'm going to stay sick. I don't know any different. And here's this agent of change for their life. And they're unaware of it. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Just building your faith tonight. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Because after service, what? We're going to lay hands on people. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Now, what's that mean? You're dealing with something. You're getting the word, and you come up for prayer after we agree in prayer because the Bible says we can. The Bible says we can lay hands on the sick. I mean, when you're sick, let's throw everything at it. Yeah. Might as well throw everything at it. Might as well throw the laying on hands with it at it, right? You might as well throw the prayer of agreement at it. You might as well throw your faith at it, and I'll throw my faith at it. Yeah. Why not? I remember Brother Hagin would talk about being at someone's deathbed, and he said, I'd do everything I knew to do. Everything that I knew to do, I threw at that thing. Yeah. Why? Why not? Yeah. No sense of leaving it in the bag. If you got a bag of tricks, use them. Praise God. Galatians 3, when I say verse 13, Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ, that's what we're celebrating, aren't we? Jesus has redeemed or rescued us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If you look at the blessing of Abraham, it was threefold: physical, financial, spiritual. He said Jesus redeemed us from the curse so that we would walk into that blessing that Abraham enjoyed. But notice in verse 13, it says, redeemed us or rescued us from the curse of the law. Well, for time's sake, if you would go back, what's the curse of the law? If you go back to the curse of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through about 14 or 15, it talks about all the blessings of obedience of the law. But then the rest of the verses down through verse 60 some, you know, talks about a whole lot of bad things, stealing, killing, and destroying. And in a lot of those verses are sicknesses and diseases. But then he says, well, there might be something here that people are experiencing that I'm not written down. So at the end, he says, and every sickness and disease that's not in this book is part of the curse of the law. So if that's part of the curse of the law, and Jesus rescued from the curse of the law, Jesus has rescued us from every sickness and every disease, every pain, everything out of order. It's available to you. Because anything that you're facing, no matter how big or how small you've made it out to be, is robbing you of the wholeness of abundant life. It's robbing you of heaven on earth, because in heaven, there's not even going to be little problems or annoyances or things like that. And Jesus said, I'm here to give it to you, praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 16 and verse 11. I'm not going to preach this too long, just getting some faith in you, and I'm going to lay hands on you. Luke 16 and verse 11. Oh, I don't want to be here. That's not where I want to go. Where's the, is it Luke 13? Yeah, it's Luke 13. I'm not trying to preach on that tonight. Go to Luke 13 and verse 11. Aren't you glad that it does not take perfection to be a pastor? Oh, man, I'd be disqualified. Good Lord. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity or sickness. Look at this. 18 years. That's going into every new year. Same. Getting. And was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. So she's bowed, bent over, walking. That's not abundant life. And when Jesus saw her, what, the agent of change, you know, the one that we're having the birthday party for? The one that's here tonight, praise God. When Jesus saw her, he called on her and said unto her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. There it is, Jesus calling ladies women. He addressed a lot of people woman. So if I start calling you ladies woman, don't get mad at me. I'm just taking my Savior's, you know. I found it has not worked very well in my house yet, so I'm guessing it's not going to go so great here, so maybe we'll just not take Jesus' example and just say it's a cultural thing or something, I don't know. And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And look what he says in verse 16. Now, before I read verse 16, remember this. This is Old Testament. Even though it's in the New Testament, this is Old Testament times. What do I mean Old Testament times? Pre-Jesus dying on the cross. Okay? This woman's a Jew. She's in the covenant with God. Has a covenant with God, and in that covenant, there's certain blessings and things that come with it, one of them being divine health. And remember the verse in Hebrews 8 and 6, it says, but we have a better covenant established upon better promises. What's that mean? If we find something that they had, we get that and better. Okay? So remember that, and look at the attitude Jesus has with this woman. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, though these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. What's Jesus saying? She has a right, or you could say it this way, in her package that came with the covenant, the package deal, you know, when you have an insurance package or a severance package, there's different things that go in that, that are yours, that belong to you. In this package of the covenant in the Old Testament belongs healing. And Jesus says, wait a minute, she's not experiencing something that belongs to her. He was saying to her, this woman ought to be changed completely in her body because of who she is. Well, the Bible says that if you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you're Abraham's son and daughter too, spiritually speaking. But also, we now have a better covenant upon better promises. So if healing belonged to a woman who wasn't even a child, how much more does the healing bread belong to the children? God is looking at it the way you ought to start looking at it. It's ridiculous that I have this on my body. It's ridiculous that I'm experiencing this day after day. It's part of the package deal. You've all heard, and I still have yet to do this yet. I'll tell you about my one experience that I almost got to at the end of the message here to help build your faith as well. I long to go on a cruise for one reason and one reason only, the food. I've heard about the all-night pizza buffets and the dessert bars and the food, and you know, it's just a nonstop gluttony extravaganza. You know, that sounds great to me. I don't know. I just, and you know, on that, you know, different things, you pay for it up front. I'll tell you what, when I'm on that thing, a price has been paid. I'm going to make sure I get my money's worth. It's like, I'll give you an example, you know. I'm really not that hungry for that fourth piece of pie, but I could do another bite, and the thought comes, well, you'd be wasting it. I don't give a rip. I paid for it. It's part of the deal. Give me the fourth piece of pie. I'll just take the bite and throw it in the garbage. Don't care on a cruise. And you can look at me like that. I don't care. I already paid for it. That pie that's sitting there is already mine. If I want to bring it back to my room and stare at it and flip it into the garbage, it's okay. I paid for it. It's the truth. Because what does it matter if I eat it or not? I already paid for it. Because it's all available is what I'm saying. And you'd be foolish to look at something you want on that cruise that is yours and belongs to you, say, no, I better not. Why? It's already yours and been paid for. Why wouldn't you get everything that you can? Trust me, they made well on your money. Amen. Yeah, I love this. Yeah, but what about all the poor and hungry children? What did they have to do with me on that cruise of something I already paid for? I'm not belittling that. Don't misunderstand me. But one does not equal the other. And that's the mentality that people have when it comes to their rights and privileges and packages that Jesus paid for them. They have this casual stand back, I don't know attitude. Why aren't you saying, no, I'm going to make sure on a cruise I'm never hungry. I'm never wishing or lacking anything that's already available to me. Why? It's already been paid for. It's mine. I can take as many pieces of pie, as many pieces of pizza as I want to. It's paid for. And it's like, no, I'm going to get my money's worth on that. I'm not going to feel cheated, right? When things belong to us, man, are we paid for it? If we paid for something, no, I want that thing. Right? In the natural, people, they fight tooth and nail and stuff like that. No, I paid for that. That belongs to me. I want that thing. And here with healing, go to bed with that thing. Just go into the new year with that thing. And God's take is, you ought to be in a different place. It's part of the package deal. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And we're going to close here and then we're going to lay hands on the sick. And then we're going to have communion. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This was instruction from Jesus of how to be the agent of change. Not everybody was healed, you know, at times in the Bible with hands laid on, but there was a whole lot of impartations through the laying on of hands. And that's the direction that the Spirit of God has told me to go tonight and told me weeks ago that we'd be going. I knew that Christmas was going to be a healing service. In Matthew chapter 18, two more verses, Matthew chapter 18. In verse 19, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father which is in heaven." Do you see that? Power of agreement. Well, Mark 11, 24, it says, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe." Well, I'm going to call people up that need healing in their body. I'm telling you, anything that's out of order, let's get it taken care of. It's available to you. You have to have faith on that, but we can agree together in prayer on these things, and we can expect. He said in Mark 11, 24, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them." It's a done deal, amen? What does that mean? Whether it comes instantaneous or not, you can walk out of here now and say, "I am the healed of the Lord. This condition is leaving my body. This condition has to go. It cannot stay. I ought to be healed. It was paid for. It's a package deal. I released my faith." And he said, it will come to pass. The power of prayer and believing. Amen? Amen. I could tell you many stories, but I was prompted to mention the cruise because of the story that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And it's interesting, one night not too long ago in South Dayton, I preached, and I mentioned a story about when I bought a dog that I shouldn't have bought. And I usually tell those stories when I'm talking about following the Holy Spirit and missing the Holy Spirit. But that night was a service on the prayer of consecration and dedication, which, to follow the Holy Spirit fully, you're going to have to be consecrated and dedicated because he's going to have you do some things at times that you don't want to do. But I mentioned a story that the Holy Spirit put on my heart, and then someone had reached out to me the next day about a situation they were going through concerning a dog. And I thought, oh, wow, okay, now, and it gave them answers and clarity. Well, tonight, this story that the Holy Spirit put on my heart to share with you is going to do something for you in the coming up for it tonight. And the only time I ever got close to getting on a cruise was I was going to go with Court's parents years ago, and I can't remember what the occasion was. If she graduated college, I can't remember why we were all going. If it was just for fun, I don't know, but it was years ago, and we were going to drive to Miami. That was where the port that we were leaving, and her dad was driving, and we got all the way down to Daytona, and we were going to spend the night there and finish the next drive the morning and get on the boat that day, the next day. And so we're getting a hotel, and I walk in. Her dad's like 6 foot something, big tall guy, and I'm standing with him at the counter, and Courtney and her mom are parked out front and underneath the overhang where you wait, you know, to get your key and then get your bags or whatever. And all of a sudden, I see Scott start to go like this. Well, this is what a deer usually does when you hit it good and it's about to go down. It starts just wobbling. I think the world starts closing in or something. All of a sudden, 6 foot whatever of him, bam, into the glass wall, hit the wall and slid down. What in the world? Well, they called the ambulance and finally he came to, and we followed behind him in the ambulance. And we get there and we're thinking, you know, he's been sitting all day, stood up. You know, maybe he's hungry or we don't know. And the doctor comes into the waiting room, and it's actually the doctor that comes out and pulls and says, "I need to talk to you, come in private." Well, we get in private and he says, this is what he said, "Remember, we're on a cruise, we're going to have a cruise, have fun." And we get the information, says, "We don't know if your husband is going to make it or not. He has lost so much blood." Well, what happened was before he went on the cruise, he had a colonoscopy. His colon had been punctured in the colonoscopy, and he had been internally bleeding inside and didn't know it and was bleeding out. And so when he stood up, he was lightheaded because the blood loss, whatever, internally bleeding. And he said, "We don't know if we can fix this, and basically said, you need to prepare for the worst. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a heavy load, and seeing the reaction of her mom and her, and I'm sitting there, and it's pressing on me, you know what to do. Well, to make a long story short, it was the turnaround and change was amazing. Took authority over that, released our faith for that, and within a couple days, we were all driving back home. We missed the cruise. Hey, Scott and Julie, you owe me a cruise. They do. We were driving home, in a matter of days to go home. Doctor's amazed. Complete turnaround. Went from we are not sure and prepare that it's not. What am I talking about? Someone that released their faith with an anointing. Amen. Believed God and it worked. That can be you tonight. Glory to God. Amen. So at this time, I want to ask anybody, do you need hands laid on you? And if you're one of the ushers, just let everyone get ministered to first, and then we'll lay hands on you after. But come on forward. Jake will instruct you. Get up here. Don't waste any time. Come receive your healing. Praise God. And you just release your faith. And your job is, you just line people up front. Your job is, after you leave the service and you go home, when you think about it or feel it, I thank you, Father, I'm healed. It belongs to me. Jesus, you came to give this to me. Christmas will never be the same. This is not pie in the sky. This is not let's just hope it works. No, this stuff happens. And I could tell you testimony after testimony of people we laid hands on. You can see why God wants us to have a healing service. Amen? Many people need this. I'll start down here, and then as the line can kind of move down so we can fit everybody here. And again, your job is not to be praying. Just close your eyes, put your hands out. That's the way, if you're led to do it, put your hands out, and I'm going to pray for you. Just go ahead and put your hands out, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command that to leave her body, everything to be made whole and to be restored from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command that healing power, God, to go in him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. From the top to the bottom, we thank you. We speak the healing power of God into each and every person. We curse anything going on in bodies that are wrong and out of order. And in the name of Jesus, be free from that. From the top to the bottom, driving out all sickness, all disease. And remember, he's the healer. I'm not. Praise God. He's got the... Praise God. In the name of Jesus, from the top to the bottom. From the top to the bottom. Now, when you get hands down, you hold on to this. You hold on to this. And you take this with you and you confess it and you believe it. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Yeah, be free from that. In the name, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, it ends now. It ends now. In the name of Jesus, be free from that, Annie. Hallelujah. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, it's not allowed to stay. You believe in Jesus? Jesus, yeah, he can heal your body. Amen. He loves you. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, driving out all sickness and disease. In the name of Jesus, be free. Glory to God. Glory to God. We command every bit of sickness and disease to leave her body. In the name of Jesus, be free from that, Grammy Tammy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Start back down here with Alex. Praise God. And those in the congregation, just be with us in worship, thanking God. I mean, this is what Jesus did. He healed people. He laid hands on people. Well, we're the body of Christ. Amen? This should be normal stuff. In the name of Jesus, be free from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You believe in Jesus? You believe he can heal you? He can. He loves you so much. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that the healing power of God goes into her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, driving out all sickness and disease. You ready to receive, Sarah? In the name of Jesus, be free from that, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Hallelujah. John? Oh, yes. You ready to receive? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. If there's anybody else, come forward. Oh, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Let's just reverence towards him. I'm not the healer. My goodness, I don't know how to heal. I have no healing power, so we put it on him. I'm just the mailman. Remember that. Don't ever put your eyes on the human. Put your eyes on Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for healing. And Father, we thank you for testimonies. Abundant life is at stake. Abundant life is offered and available to us. Let's just praise him and thank him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Put your hands out, buddy, just like that. Jesus wants to heal you and touch you. Everything that's off, made whole from the top to the bottom. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Anybody else? We're going to sing a song here tonight. Just feel led to do that. Praise God. Go ahead and stand with me to your feet. We're going to sing something about that name.
If I could make sure to get some reverb, that'd be great. Thank you. I want those that had hands laid on to think about Jesus and what he did for you. Going forward, he's not a liar. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Sing kings and kingdoms. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Jesus, we thank you that you are faithful to do what you said you would do. We praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and just keep an attitude of praise and worship. We're going to take up communion. Just keep lifting his voice, lifting your voice, praising him. Hallelujah. We magnify you. Father, we love you. This is a time for worship. We'll put that song on, that song we just played. Just remember, not discerning the Lord's body. His body came so that you could be healed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and praise you and bless your holy name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Change, 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 change. Change, 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 change. Jesus is the change. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I thank you for that change. You said, so it's set free the power of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus bless you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We magnify you, healer. You are our healer. You are our healer, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the changes, for the changes, for the changes, for the changes, for the changes. Glory to God. We magnify you and bless you. Everybody serve Jake. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, do in remembrance of me. Let's break the bread and let's eat it. Father, thank you for the body of Jesus being broken for our behalf. Jesus, we honor and reverence and recognize what you went through and the price that you paid. We love you and appreciate you and are so thankful. We will discern that body by discerning the body that came to bring us abundant life and the body that died for us to give us abundant life. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread, drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's drink. Father, we thank you that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on our behalf for the remission of our sins. The precious blood of Christ without blemish, without spot. We thank you, Lord. We bless you and honor you. Thank you for what communion means. Thank you for this Christmas season. Let's just thank Jesus for coming to the earth. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, so much. We love you, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wouldn't mind passing your cups to the aisle here before you're dismissed, I'll have just pass them down and Jake will go by and collect those. And I want to remind you that we don't have service again here till January 1st, Saturday night. So next Saturday, hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy time with your family. But there is church available on the 26th if you want to make the drive to South Dayton. It's about 55 minutes from here, and so it'll be great to see you next Sunday. Also, want to remind the kids after service to come up and line up here. I'll probably be up here with Miss Julie helping pass out some of these goodies. We want to bless you. And then don't forget, we have our dinner downstairs. We're going to go ahead in a second here and pray for that. But if you have prayer requests or anything, please see me before you leave. I'd love to help you and love all of you and appreciate you. Let's go ahead and let's pray for the food. Father, we're so grateful to be able to fellowship, to break bread together. Father, what a joy and an honor and a privilege it is. And Father, I just thank you for every person that helped, that brought food, that made food, that paid for food, that offered their time here. Father, bless them. Lord, these things aren't light things. These things are being a blessing to your family, your children, and you don't look lightly upon that. So we thank you for that. And Father, we just thank you this food is blessed to our body. We thank you that you take sickness away from our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and head on downstairs and dig in. Kids, come on up. You're dismissed.
Born unto us this day, a Savior. Gifted from heaven to earth.